We're going to 1 Timothy. That's where we're going to start today. I apologize because I'm terrible with names, but it's good to have, help me out again, Brittany. It's good to have Brittany here with Josh. If we could all stand for the reading of the Word of God. If I'm not mistaken, this is her second time to be here. Is that right? Second time. So by the third time, maybe I'll have it. It's good to have you with us today. A lot of places you could have been on a Sunday afternoon, but you chose to come out and worship with us, and for that we're honored. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, starting at verse number 12, is where we are going to start out today. It's good to have Ben Sador with us also. He's been here a few times now, a close friend of my son's and our family's, and it's good to have him with us. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12, reads like this. It says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before," notice this, "who was before a blasphemer." Now that's a bad deal as a Jew. You did not, blasphemy was a horrible thing as a Jew to do. And Paul is telling Timothy, God counted me worthy, even though I was a blasphemer, putting me into the ministry. He says, "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save" what? "Sinners, of whom I am" what? This is a preacher that said, you know what? God came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I was the worst of the worst, Paul says. But yet if he can save me, he can save you. Then he goes on to say, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen." I want to preach just for a little while on this topic, the DNA of a champion. The DNA of a champion. Can you bow your heads and ask God to help us as we preach here today on this topic? Dear Lord, we love you. And we thank you for one more chance to stand behind this sacred desk and spread the gospel that has the power, God, to change lives, to put marriages back together, to heal addictions, to heal sickness, God. The power, God, to take someone that's wandering aimlessly, not sure where to turn and what to do. But God, you have the power to transform their life and give them meaning again. In Jesus' name we pray. We ask you to help me to do a good job for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't normally bring my phone to the pulpit with me, but there is a particular passage that I want to bring to our attention today that I ran across as I was studying for this message. The first thing, we hear a lot about DNA. I don't know about you, but they say we leave DNA almost everywhere that we go. There's a part of us that stays even after we're gone. I don't want to be vulgar or gross, but when I handed them this microphone with this handkerchief, there was probably some DNA on that handkerchief that represented me that was unlike anybody else. In fact, the sheer thought that a police officer or a forensic scientist could come in here, pick up this microphone without knowing who was holding it, check for the DNA upon this microphone, and then check my DNA And they could tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt if I was holding this microphone. That's amazing of what they can do. And that is surely because they have been able to break down something that allows them to put a picture together of you, of something that only you have. No one else has that DNA but you. There is no two people that has the same things. There's no other alignment of chromosomes, if you will, that perfectly match yours except for you. You are unique. You are uniquely made and created by a God that knew you before you knew Him. The God that recognized you and designed you specifically the way He wanted you. He knew if we were going to be tall. He knew if He wanted us short. He knew if He wanted us to have big ears or little ears. And some were joking, as some of our politicians this week, if they were going to have big noses or little noses. And some that were going to have a big mouth or a little mouth, if you will. But all of those things, but God designed everybody how He wanted them to be. And then from that basis of birth, you begin to bloom into what you are today. Handcrafted by God, and then angled and directed by your parents. Some having godly parents, some having ungodly parents. Doesn't make one bad, one good. You still have parents. How many thankful you at least have a mother or father? Most of us. Some of us aren't even blessed to have that. But most of us had someone in our life that cared for us and got us up past those nurturing ages. How many are glad you weren't born and somebody just took you, sat you down on a sidewalk somewhere and said, I don't want you? But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of children out there that has had just that happen to them. They really have nobody to care for them. But I've got news for you. Every single one of them that a parent may not love, a parent may not care for, and a parent may say you were nothing but an accident, I've got news to you. They were not. They were a creature. They were a creation of God, hand formed by a God that loves them. Even when man doesn't love them, God still loves them. Even when man doesn't recognize or care that they're there, God still cares about that child. And He cares about you. In our uniqueness, there is something called our DNA. Now, I'm not super smart. Some of you probably could tell me what DNA means. But I didn't know. I knew what it was supposed to be about, but I didn't really know what DNA meant. So I Googled it. Like most preachers do today. And in Google's definition, it says DNA is a noun. It's something related to biochemistry. And now I'm going to attempt to, maybe not even attempt, to pronounce some of the words. But it says it is deoxyribonucleic. Wow. I'm glad you got it. Say it one more time for me. There you go. That's what it is by the definition. But now the question is, it says it's a self-replicating material present in nearly all living organisms as the main constituent of chromosomes. It is the carrier of genetic information. So it will tell you stuff about you and the people before you, if you will. But then it goes on to say this. The fundamental and distinctive characteristics or qualities of someone or something, especially when regarded as unchangeable. Meaning you are what you are. You cannot change it. It doesn't matter how much you try, Brother Jeremy. You can't suck your DNA out, change it, and put it back in. Because that DNA is what makes you up. That is your being. Everything about you is connected to it. You can't just pull this out and start over again. Now, Sister Smith back there, being a nurse at one time and having that history being able to work on people, probably has much more knowledge of this topic than I have. But the fact of the matter is, we as individuals, we can't go in and rearrange ourselves. It is there to stay. The only one that can rearrange what we are is God. Most of us growing up as a child, growing up in a home, and this is what Paul was trying to get across to Timothy. He said, I grew up in the church. I was a heathen. I was a hypocrite according to today's church. He said, but the fact of the matter is, I was the chief of sinners. I was committing blasphemy. I was the one doing the things that shouldn't have been done. I was the one taking the Jesus name believers, having them beaten cruelly and thrown into prison. I was the one that did not deserve to carry a Bible and preach the name of Jesus Christ. I'm the one that doesn't have any right to stand here before you today and even say that I am saved, because I was persecuting the very one that I am preaching today. But Paul said, but because of His blood, because of Jesus Christ and His mercy and His grace, am I allowed to stand here today and write this letter to you, Timothy, and tell you something that I couldn't have told you many years ago. But I have been changed only by the mercy of Jesus Christ. Some of us, as children growing up, they say you are a product of your raising. Most of us, statistics say, if you grew up in an alcoholic home, you're probably going to be what? An alcoholic. If you grew up in a home that was constantly smoking and you were around that all the time, and you were having your first cigarettes at 8, 9, 10 years old, you're probably going to be addicted to what? Cigarettes. If you lived in a broken home with a broken marriage and mom and dad was fighting and there was chaos in the home and mom had a different man there every weekend, or dad had a different lady there every weekend, and infidelity was rampant in your home, and that was what you were seeing on a weekly, day in, day out basis, the chances are you're probably not going to have a very successful marriage later in life. If you grew up as a baby in a womb with narcotics in your body, facing addictions from the time you were just a baby, growing up around those things, watching his mom and dad were getting high on cocaine, smoking pot, and doing the things that many people in this world do, chances are there's something in that child that's going to want to resonate to those things that mom and dad found their resource in. That child's probably going to look to that same resource to find its escape route. And generation by generation, and I am, thank the Lord, I find myself the same as Paul. I am only able to stand here by the grace of God, because if you were to trace my heritage, you were to trace my DNA, I was a product of two generations ago of a lifestyle on both sides of my family of misconduct in the worst of ways, and we'll leave it at that. An alcoholic till the doctor said, don't bring them back. And to the point that they would bring home stuff from gambling till the wee hours of the morning. And abuse would take place when they walk in the door because they were drunk. And the things that went on were not pretty in those homes until their children, which was one of them happened to be my mother. And they would hide in the other rooms and hide their ears because they didn't want to hear what was going on in the homes. But the fact of the matter is, when you follow my heritage back, I don't have a right to stand here today. I don't have the ability on my own to stand here today. If it weren't by the blood of Jesus Christ, taking something that was unchangeable and changing me to where I could look into life and say there's a better way. I could look into life and say there's something different. I could look into life and say my children aren't going to be raised that way. I could look into life and say, but God changed something that was unchangeable statistically. So as a preacher, I'm standing here today to tell you, you may not have everything been in your life perfect. There may be things in our family closets that we're not proud of as individuals here today. No doubt if you sent a questionnaire around the entire city of Winnemac, there's some things that people wouldn't want to answer about their family heritage in their life. Remember some time back, I was sitting on the front porch talking to my grandfather. And I never, ever in my life had ever heard him talk about his dad. Never in my life had I ever heard my grandfather talk about his dad. Not one time. He talked about his stepdad and how much his stepdad cared for him and took him coon hunting and Siller did all of these things and he loved him and he cared for him and all of this stuff. But I began to ask Grandpa, I said, Grandpa, well, what about your dad, your real dad? Where was he? Where did he go? And watched as my grandfather got very quiet. And I sensed that I had struck a vein that he didn't even want to talk about. Because there was something in his family history that it hurt. And it didn't feel right. And he wanted it to go away. Every single one of us in our lives, there are things in our lives like that. But let this preacher be a sounding alarm to tell you today. The only thing that can make those things go away is when you go back to the maker that made you, that created you, and you allow him to remake you in his image. And you allow that maker to look into your eyes and say, you know what? I've been waiting for this moment that you would come to me. I've been waiting for this moment because I knew you weren't happy with the way life was. And I know you don't want to be connected with maybe everything that your life has turned out to be. But let me tell you, there is a different way. There is a better way. Because the fact of the matter is, if you can recognize you have been bought by my blood, and the day you go down in a watery grave of baptism and you take on a new name, you give up that name and you put on the name of Jesus Christ, and you no longer are known by the old man, you no longer are known by what you used to be, but now you are known just as Paul was known. He said, I used to be the chiefest of sinners. But now, because of the mercy of Jesus Christ, I'm able to stand here today when I don't deserve it. I wonder how many people up and down these streets sitting in a home wish they could just run away from everything they're known from. And known by. I wonder how many homes that the devil have people locked up that don't want them to know the good news of the gospel. Because the fact of the matter is, the gospel, if you break it down into what it really means, and you go back to the Greek and the Hebrew, the gospel simply means good news. I got good news for someone here today that maybe even may not be sitting here, but maybe listening online someday. I've got good news because you don't have to be trapped into that world. You don't have to be known by what you've always been known by. But you can look at the rest of the world and say, yeah, that may have been what you knew me as. I may have been known by that one day, but by the grace of God, I stand here whole. I stand here new. And you may remember me as that, but God doesn't remember me as that. And when I stand before Him someday, He's not going to look at me and say, yeah, Brent, you're the heritage of an alcoholic product home. No, He's going to look at you and say, you're my child, and you've been bought with a price, and I've been waiting on you to get here. Enter in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't recognize any of that. Why? Because it's been hidden by a blanket of blood called mercy. It's hidden everything in your life that you're not proud of, that you wish everybody else would forget. I got news for you. You're not going to stand before everybody else someday. You're going to stand before Him. And the only thing He's going to recognize that day is whether His blood's applied to your life or whether it's not. The only thing that has the ability to cover up our corruption is His blood. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm simply saying this. Anybody can walk through life and say they don't need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is missing the most greatest, powerful product that they could ever apply to their life. And they can have heart transplants, and they can have lung transplants, and they can open arteries, but nobody can hide your sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody can remake you. Nobody can purify you. Nobody can cleanse you like the blood of Jesus Christ. And my Bible says, without the blood, there is no remission. That tells me the only way the DNA says it's unchangeable, the only way that can be changed so that I'm not recognized by the only judge that I'm going to stand before someday, the only way I can be recognized by Him as being whole is if all He sees is His blood. There's something about looking at our lives and admitting who we are. Honesty is not an easy thing, is it? Most of us have trouble with this. Most of us, even as little children, had trouble with this. We were naturally taught as children to tell the truth, were we not? Most of us, we were taught how to tell the truth, because natural DNA says, no, I want two. I don't want one. I want two of them. Natural DNA says you're going to go through the line and there's candy bars and you want one. Natural DNA says I put one in my pocket for later because I might get hungry. That's the natural DNA. We don't have a choice in that matter. We are all born with those characteristics. But the training and the nurturing of a child is what takes them away from those things and teaches those children that there's a right and there's a wrong. But the problem is, not every child has the ability of having a parent to teach them all of those things that you and I have been taught. Some of us, even sitting here today, will look back at our lives and remember all the mistakes that was made in our raising. And we will look back and we will look and we'll say, over my dead body will my children be raised that way. Every single one of us have things in our lives that we look back and we say, over my dead body, is it going to be that way in my house? Some for the good, some for the bad. But every single one of us have those things. But we are a product of our environment. But the problem with being a product of an environment is simply this. God can inhabit anywhere, anytime, any place, anybody. Even in the worst of environments, God can find you. Even in the worst of places that you think you are hidden from the whole rest of the world, God knows you. Now let me ask you this. When the rest of society like us look at someone in these streets of this town, probably, that's a constant drug addict, constantly can't control themselves or nor their temper nor their lifestyle. And we as a society look at them and say they're no good. They're a drunkard. They're an addict. They'll always be that. Don't go around them. Don't be around them. That's what they are. That's what they'll always be. That's in our flesh. We as humans don't have the ability to see beyond what's really on the inside. What we don't see is the screaming on the inside that says, would somebody please just give me some relief from this world that I'm locked into? Would somebody please just allow me one moment of fresh air to escape this misery that I'm living in every single day? Many of you know people like I'm preaching about today. And if you of yourselves could go in with a hammer and begin to tear down those walls, Brother Josh, any one of us would do it in a minute if we thought we could free them from that world. Because our compassion and our heart goes out to them if we're connected with them. But if we don't know that individual, it's very easy for us to write them off as a lost cause of society that'll never be retrieved. It's very easy for us to do that. The fact of the matter is, when you look through the eyes of Jesus Christ, that's a wayward child. It's bound in bondage. Tricked by the enemy called the devil. And all they need is the same thing Paul found, and that's mercy. Paul went on to say, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul says, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. For the last few moments, I want to emphasize something very important to every single one of us. When God comes in and changes your world, and He changes your DNA, and you're buried in a watery grave of baptism, He fills you with the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. He's changing your heritage, and you're no longer living under the flesh heritage that you used to live under. But He's putting in you the DNA of a champion that's never lost a battle, never lost a fight. And He's still in control of everything that goes on in this world. And when the devil says, you know what, I've got you trapped in your world. I've got you trapped in your genealogy. I've got you trapped into what you'll always be. I've got you and I've got you locked in. And science says it's unchangeable. The Word of God says, so am I. The Word of God says, when I put my seal upon you, the only way you can blow it, Brother Jeremy, is if you blow it. Once I apply my blood to your life, once I have purchased you, the only way the devil can touch you is if you willfully walk out those doors and reject my protection. God doesn't hold any of us hostage like the devil does. Let me ask you this. Some of us, a lot of us, have grown up around people that have bad, bad addictions, whether alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, whatever it is. It's something that you can't stop at any moment. How many of them can just get up and walk out of that world? How many of them? None. The devil traps them and locks them. God's not like that. God takes those things away, gives you the power to overcome those things. And he simply says, there's no lock on the door. My protection is here as long as you want to stay. If you choose to go back out there, I won't stop you. But the devil doesn't operate that way, does he? The devil sucks you in, he locks the door, and he throws away the key, and he says, you know what, over my dead body will you ever get out of here. You're going to die, you're a miserable wreck, your whole family was, and that's where you're going to stay, and that's where you're going to be. God doesn't operate that way. God says, you're free, I will purchase you, I will clean you up, I will put your life back together again, I will give you the pieces to make the puzzle fit one more time in your life, and the only way it'll ever be changed is if you willfully choose to walk back out that door. Because the fact of the matter is, when you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, you're applying the DNA of a champion. You're applying something that nothing else in this world can give, and nothing else in this world can do. Let's all stand. In our lives as individuals, every single one of us in this place here today have a choice. We can go through life and stick our head in the sand and pretend eternity doesn't exist. We have that choice. God allows us that choice. And go through life the way everyone else has done it and hope that we make it to heaven. But why would we make that choice, knowing a God that will release you at any moment if you choose to be released? It says, I have made provisions for a hiding place for you. I have carved out a place in mercy and grace that is just your size. That you can climb under my blood and the devil can't touch you and the devil can't harm you. And the only way he can touch you is if you choose to allow him in or you choose to walk out. But I've made a place for your salvation. You say, preacher, what all is involved with that kind of salvation? What are you talking about? Does that mean I got to jump up and down and shout three hymns or some kind of crazy funky stuff? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Very simply, the blood of Jesus Christ. According to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse number 38, when they were presented with this very same question, as Peter said, you crucified the very Savior that you were looking for. And they said, how do we fix it? What do we do at this point? Peter simply said, number one, repent. You say, what is repent? Repent means I look at God and say, God, I may not understand it all, but all I know is where I'm going ain't working. All I know is if I follow what they've done, I'm going to end up in the same mess they're in. I need a different route. I need a different way. And I understand just running with the crowd is popular. Running with the crowd is easy. But today, if there's a better road, if there's a different way, God, I'm going to make that turn and I'm going to do my best to find it. I don't care if I have to go by myself. I don't care if my mom and dad don't go, parents don't go, grandparents don't go. I don't care what we've always believed. It doesn't matter to me at this point. God, I've got to know who you are. And I need you more than I need anything else today. Peter said, repent. And that is exactly what repentance is. And he said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means you come to a preacher and you say, preacher, I recognize in my own self, there's a world of hurt, there's a world of mess, there's a life that I can't control. There's things that even I may look clean on the outside, but my mind is corrupt. It's constantly popping those things back into my mind. I just can't seem to shake my old man. It's there, and I don't know what to do with it. Peter said, you be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that's where God says, okay, I'm going to take you. I'm going to bury you under my blood. Every blood, drop of blood that was shed on Calvary is going to remove every stain of sin on your life. And what I'm going to see now is not the man that was, but the man that is. And the man that is covered by my blood. I don't recognize. When you say I'm an addict, God's going to say, I don't know that you're an addict. All I see is someone that's my child and they need my help. All I see is someone that responded to me and said, you know what, I need the presence of God in my life. And here I am. That's all I see. And you come out washed and clean. You raise your hands to a Savior. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. He says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You say, what is the Holy Ghost, preacher? The Holy Ghost is not what the media, not what the world, not what other denominations has made the Holy Ghost out to be. It's not some far out, crazy, weird spirit thing. It's nothing more than the presence of God that wants to be your Father again. Wants to dwell with you and help you through the turmoil and the mess of your life to allow you to change your DNA. You say, preacher, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is nothing more than the presence of God speaking through you, and you're speaking in another language, not some other jibber-jabber crazy stuff, but you're just speaking in another language that you have never learned. As you lift your hands in the presence of God and God begins to fill you. And that is a sign not only to you, but to them that don't believe that God is now inhabiting that temple, living inside of you. You say, preacher, do I have to make all that jump at one time? No, you don't have to make all that jump at one time. The first step is repentance. That's when you come before God and say, God, I need a better way. So today I humbly ask as a pastor, if the entire congregation, just find a place, whether you sit at your seat, can you just talk to God for a few moments? Maybe in your pew, if you want to come to this altar, the altars are open. If you just want to sit down and close your eyes in your own chair and say, God, we haven't really talked maybe in a long time, God, and here I am, find myself sitting in a Pentecostal church of all places, God. How did I get here? But I recognize what this preacher is saying, God, and I need a relationship with you. I don't understand everything about you, God. I maybe don't even know you in the realness that preacher's talking about. But I just want to be honest with you, God. I'm kind of lost right now, God, and I don't really know where to turn. Got the world pulling me one way, yet there's something that keeps drawing me back to this church. And myself, God, I'm kind of confused. I'm not sure which way to turn, God. And that preacher said, if I would turn to you, you'd help me through this situation. God, I'm asking you right now as a pastor to respond to every longing heart that's sitting here today. Let them know, God, this is the moment that you created in their life and carved out at this moment of time that you've been waiting on. A moment, God, that you could let them know that you love them more than anything else in this world. You care about how they feel. Care about the thoughts that go through their mind when they lay on the pillow at night wondering if they're going to go to heaven or not. You care about those moments. Maybe some of us struggle with past and things that have happened in our lives, maybe family heritages. We're trying to break that mold in our lives. God, I'm asking you to be the mold breaker, and I'm asking you to be the one that says, you know what, I will lift you above that stuff. I will create in you a clean heart. I will renew in you a right spirit. Will cause you and help you to not see life in a negative world anymore. It's a world that constantly holds you down. I want to show you that I am a God who cares about you. I care about your eternity. There's going to come a day, God, let them know that they're going to stand before you. The way they can stand there whole and not carry the baggage of a messed up life. The only way is through you and through your blood. If they've never been baptized in Jesus' name, God, I'm asking you to reveal to them in the scriptures, in the book of Acts, in the book of John, the book of Galatians, Colossians, all of the places that it references the value of being buried in your name. Neither is there salvation in any other name. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. God, I'm asking you to reveal to them the value of that. Help them to make that commitment. Maybe they may not be brave enough to do it in front of the church, but help them to come to a pastor or to a loved one or a friend that's here today and say, you know what, could we schedule a private time that I could sit down with that pastor and get this taken care of in my life, because I want what he was preaching about, but I just don't know how to get there. God, I ask you to elevate their faith and their mindset, God, to let them realize that if they will take one step, you will take two. And at any moment, God, that they sense their need, we'll fill up that tank any time of day, and we'll bury them in a watery grave of baptism, never to be remembered as the old man anymore, but now as your child. God, I'm asking you right now to bring strength to everyone that's here, bring hope to everyone that's here, cause someone to believe one more time, to recognize the value of your protection, and what's given them is the power to change their world, completely transform their life, take on the DNA of a champion that's never lost a battle, take on the DNA of one that has love and compassion and cares, not only cares about the rest of the world, but cares about them. In Jesus' name we pray.